Welcome back to Pawscast. Thanks for tuning in. Wow. I'm June the Fox, and I guess I'm a soft dom because I'm only into lowercase punishment. And I'm here with other people who like punishment sometimes. Hi, Dameron.
Hey there.
And we're also joined by a very special guest. Hi, Lex.
Hello.
Glad to have you back, friend.
Thank you.
Amigo.
Okay, so
what's
obvious.
Up, bruh? What the fuck, bruh? Boy.
Can you guys be proud of me because I came up with lowercase punishment?
Yeah, but then you said somebody else that... okay, never mind. Okay, punishment. There was a sequential order. I'm not the one that likes the punishments, for clarification.
That's actually so true. And Lux, you are allowed to defend yourself at all times.
Yeah.
So sorry about that. So today we're talking about roommates. So I think where I want to start is... this is kind of a weird place to start, to be honest. But I want to start by talking about the difference between people you live with and people you room with at a con. Because sometimes people call them roomies. You know what I mean? So I'm using this to sort of identify like what we mean when we say roommates.
Okay.
But basically, talk okay. about your experience, specifically the difference between living with somebody and rooming with them at a con.
Con roomies, I tend to enjoy a lot more when I know who they are.
Sure.
My worst roommate experience ever, I've had two horrible ones, and they've been on completely opposite ends of the spectrum. For one, my second con ever at IFC, I stayed completely by myself in a red roof, in room 420. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. but that was an experience because I felt very alone and realized I had no friends in the fandom yet, so that was awful. But on the opposite side of that, for MCFC 2024, I had plenty of furry friends. I just didn't have anyone who wanted to room with me. So I hitched a room that somebody else got for me that had six people in it. And I roomed with seven individuals.
Blech.
Never had met any of them before the convention occurred.
Oh my God.
And all of their etiquette was so off the rails. Like, it wasn't like bad, but like there were just like every single person had a different problem. Including myself, because I was like never in the room half the time, and I would just come back and put my suit on and leave.
Yep.
So it was very that. But yeah, that's my experience with that.
Yeah.
Long and short, I prefer roommates that I know. That'd be cool.
Yeah. I think for me, for con roomies, I've definitely... So when I started doing conventions, that's when I was with Speedy Husky. So we always would just room together, but it was just the two of us most of the time.
Just
occasionally,
the two of us.
Boop, 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 boop.
Sorry,
that's great. And then sometimes we had people stay with us. Dameron stayed with us a couple times.
Yep.
We also stayed with Wolf and Draft one time, maybe twice. I don't remember. But it so in that sense, we never really had like roommates we didn't know. Now that we're at this point in the timeline, sometimes I would stay with like just Dameron, for example. And other times I've had like rooms that have had, you know, four has been total roommates has been including me has been the most I've stayed with. The thing for me about convention rooming is when I'm done partying, I'm fucking done partying. So if I go back to my room and it's like 3 a.m. and people are having sex on the ceiling or still drinking or doing drugs or whatever, it's like, dude, I want to be up at a reasonable hour and I don't want to be awake right now trying to fall asleep while you're doing everything. And the other thing is I'm such a light sleeper. So if anybody is snoring, like, it's game over for me. I'm not sleeping.
Oh my God.
No, it's okay. Usually I'll put on like noise canceling headphones, and I started playing like white noise videos on YouTube, like 10-hour long white noise videos.
It didn't work for you though until you just wasn't it pink noise or whatever.
Then I switched to pink noise.
You have no idea how lucky you are that you've only stayed with four people max.
Truly.
That's insane.
No, but I've heard the horror stories, and like I maybe I'm being really narcissistic by saying something like this, but usually the cons that I go to, there are at least a handful of people that know who I am. So I don't want people to have unfettered access to my things in a hotel room.
That is totally
for,
fair.
For stealing or for, you know what I'm talking about? Like, yeah. I just don't want people touching my stuff or going through my shit or whatever. Like, so truly, like, my room is like, I'm done partying. I'm now playing on my phone, or I'm going to bed, or I'm hanging out with the people that I actually want to hang out with, or whatever, you know, like, it's really, like, the space for me to be done with, I want to say, like, real life roommates, with, like, apartments or houses or something. So that type of situation definitely has to be somebody I've known for a while that I trust. I definitely got to be somebody that's good with money, you know, like, mm-hmm. there's other things that go, you know, so the big difference, I guess, that we're talking about here is, like, a convention is a weekend, you know, you can probably grin and bear a few extra things you wouldn't normally grin and bear because it's just a weekend, right? Yes. And you may never see that person again. Apartment or, like, house or, you know, actual living roommates is like, okay, you're going to see me at my worst at some point, and I'm going to see you at your worst at some point, and our best. You know, so we got to know we can handle the shit and that, like, I can actually trust you.
That is exactly what I told our newest roommate that we just got. I was just like, you're going to see the worst of me and you need to be prepared for that.
Yeah. Like, we need to get really comfortable with some shit really fast. Yeah. You know?
Dameron.
Well, Dameron.
Echolalia.
Oh, man. So I've had a whole gamut of situations, but, I prefer to room with people I know because, you know, same topics. You know, I don't want people rooting through my stuff. I don't want things disappearing. I want to be comfortable around the people that I'm with. But I have been in the situation where I got rescued out of a bad situation.
Oh.
I'm trying to remember which convention it was. It was either MFF or Anthrocon way back when. And I got put into a room where it was a suite attached with two rooms. And they filled that thing full. There were talking like 20 people. And, you know, people in the side rooms. And then they jammed everybody else into the suite area. So I had floor space with all of these other people. And I'm just like, I don't feel safe in here. I don't feel like my shit's going to be safe because it's all out in the open. So I started reaching out. And there was a person that rescued me from that situation. They had a room to themselves, double queen bed. Let me stay in there. Didn't charge me a thing.
Nice.
And they were good people. They didn't.
Oh, my God.
So that was the rescue situation. I've also had furry camping events, which...
Yeah.
Those aren't so bad, really. Like, Feral was my first real furry convention experience before experiencing hotel cons. And that's where I met my first boyfriend. My serious first love boyfriend.
Ooh.
And we had bunk houses where you pick your bunk and things, and everybody was really chill because there was only 150 people in attendance.
Yeah.
But...
that's so small. Oh, my gosh.
Gosh.
I have a dream by today's standards.
I think that number's gone up now. It's like around 300 to 400, but it's still a good limit.
It reminds me of, like, Anthrohio, because in the beginning of me doing cons, Anthrohio was the smallest con I attended. And they were only probably pulling like 1,000, 1,500 people in the beginning, which is still a lot. But MCFC was doing 2,500 or maybe 3,000 at the time. And so it felt a lot easier and a lot more chill and stuff like that. So chill events, I also think you get better roommates at chill events.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, definitely.
I think if it's like Anthrocon, everybody's so high energy, you know, but a more chill event, it's like, okay, people are chill.
Something, I don't know if you have, like, topics you want to propose, but, like, this is, like, a topic of mine that I think about a lot, especially when it comes to roommates, at cons specifically. But I've noticed there's a hierarchy when it comes to selecting roommates.
Yep.
I noticed that there's people that people want to room with, and there's people that people don't want to room with.
Yep.
I am not very high on that list. Not for any particular reason. I think people just have favorite people. Like, there's no, like, dislike kind of thing. But I'm just like, I don't think I'm at the top of it.
I can understand that because I don't usually get my own rooms anymore. It's more of a, if somebody hits me up and says, do you want to fill a room spot? Yeah, I think we're pretty cool. If I feel like going, I'll go. Sure.
My first time rooming with other people at a convention, MCFC 2023 was my first. I was staying on the floor of the room with no sleeping material other than a blanket and pillow I brought from home. I didn't have a pillow. I only had the blanket.
You had no pillow. Oh, jeez.
I was sleeping on a towel on the floor.
Oh, hell.
And somebody slid me a pillow in the middle of the night, and I was just like, thank you so much.
You're really my angel.
I lived like an hour away. I could have just went back home. I don't know. I was being like stubborn because I didn't want
to
leave.
But you were trying to, that's an hour. I mean, you were trying to be on site.
Yeah, I was like, I was trying to like enjoy the moment because I'd never been to a con before. I was just like, this is cool. But I also accidentally roomed with a canceled person. And then we had a roommate who got high on shrooms.
Oh, no.
We didn't know.
Oh, well, and not saying something is awful.
Well, they didn't. Well, they said they were. We weren't ready, is mm-hmm. what I will say. We weren't mm-hmm. ready for it. And they come back up to the room. And the person that they were with drops them off, because when you have somebody on shrooms, you do not want to be their babysitter.
Yep.
So they drop them off back in our room. And at one point he got so like lucid about things that he decided it would be a good idea to kick said canceled person.
Uh-oh.
Because we need
bless you. Thank you.
That's so awful. Yeah, it was bad. The guy that got kicked went straight into the bathroom and was just like, okay, get him out of here. I was like, okay.
That's so bad.
So I'm not name dropping at all, but I was just like, that was an experience, and I hope that person knows not to do that.
Yeah.
But that was like, that was my like scariest roommate experience, where I was just like, oh my God, somebody's going to die in here right now.
Yeah.
It was bad.
So I do want to switch, away from con roommates for just a bit.
Okay.
So I think we've definitely talked about the differences between like con roommates versus like people you actually live with, right? Like in a living situation.
Yeah.
So, we've already touched on this a little bit, but in your guys' opinions, what do you think are like the secret ingredients of having a good roommate situation? Somebody that you're living with.
Having a sixth sense.
Dude, that's so real.
Gotta have a sixth sense. It's very much like I can't deal with someone who can't recognize the fact that there are dishes in the sink, do the dishes. The trash is full, take the trash out. There is a mess on the floor, clean it up. There are posters that need to be hung up, hang up the posters. There is a door that needs to be locked, lock the door. I can't handle a roommate who can't recognize the regular like common sense things and just do them, because if you can't do that, I am going to dislike you very fast.
Yep.
Like, especially the newest one for me is that there's a light that is always left on, and there are dishes that are never ever done. I will never look at our sink and see it empty. I'm like, I don't get where it comes from. I don't know where the dishes are produced, but I'm just like, hi guys, the dishes, maybe.
Maybe.
The thing about it is, they're not your dishes.
They're never my dishes. Sometimes
it ends up like you get so frustrated with it that you do it yourself, and it just makes you even more livid.
My thing with it is like, especially with the dishes, it's just like, if I predict, like, it just happened. I had ice cream last night. I went to bed. I woke up. I still had the ice cream dish. I want to let the ice cream dish soak so I can actually clean it out, because the ice cream is stuck in there. I don't want to leave it in the sink because there is a whole day to be had and other people are living at the house, and I can just take care of it tomorrow when I'm not away from the home for the entire day and not leave a dish in the sink the entire day that my roommates have to deal with.
Right.
That easy.
So real.
Just thinking about that. Like, I feel like that just has to happen.
I know that one thing I have learned in living with multiple people now is everybody has a different threshold for cleanliness.
Yes.
And and doing chores in general and the overall maintenance of the house. Like, everybody has a different threshold for that. So even if like, so one example is like, even if you think the trash is full, somebody else is like, oh, I can get, you know, another day of trash in there or whatever. Like,
absolutely.
Like that definitely happens. I know that in the past, I have been terrible about keeping up on dishes, because like I, you know, I go to work and then I'm tired and then I'm doing all this editing and I'm tired and
fist bump for having a dishwasher.
Yeah. Having a dishwasher is great. So that I can do, I can like rinse it out and throw it in a dishwasher. If the dishwasher got ran, like I can empty it out. Like, but actually not having a dishwasher and then it's like, okay, I'm going to leave this bowl in the sink, I'll get back to it later. And then I don't, because it's like I've done all these 100 other things that are on my mind. Like, so I know that there are some things I'm terrible at. One thing I love doing is vacuuming. That's a weird thing.
Okay.
I love vacuuming. Yeah, but I like it a lot, honestly.
We roomed together for a year.
Yeah, we lived together for a year.
And it was actually pretty awesome. We had a good division of labor, I will just say.
We had really
things
good
things that he really liked to do, I didn't like to do. And the things I really liked to do for cleaning, he didn't like to do.
Yep. And it so that was great. We had our things, and we didn't really change those things. That was fine. But we had good communication. And mm-hmm. I think that is truly the secret ingredient.
Yeah. Number one, there was things that I was doing. And had you not said anything about it, I wouldn't have been able to fix it. Like taking the trash out, but not putting another bag in the trash container.
Yeah. I don't... I know there were things I did too. But we had had other roommates by that point. I think that's another... This is a counterintuitive point that I kind of want to talk about really quick. But I think another secret ingredient of being a good roommate... is already having been a bad roommate or already having had bad roommates.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So truly just experience. Oh. I think experience really crafts like that good relationship. You know?
Gosh. I don't think I've really ever had any bad living roommates. Probably because I'm so damn picky of who I'm room with.
That's
or I'm in a relationship.
I have had one bad roommate. I don't even know if they still watch my some. They were watching my stuff for a long time, like my videos and my. So I don't know if they're listening now. I had one bad roommate, so I'm not going to drop names. It'd be interesting if they were still listening.
Who was it?
So this was before I met Speedy, and basically, I lived in an apartment for a year with two of my coworkers. It was very convenient because we were all like. Getting into our 20s and like we were just kind of figuring out life and we had so we it was really a chance to be like okay we're gonna try to have an agreement we're gonna try to talk about money we're gonna try to have the you know we're trying to figure out this process
for sure
but we also worked together so it was like we really knew that we had to be like on our P's and Q's and we could help each other out and it, so we thought it would work I think everything worked out for the most part. The guy that was the bad roommate was just kind of like really immature and it was so bad because things got really sour, and I don't remember why, and he ended up stealing, like, an entire set of pots and pans that my grandma gifted me, and they had been in the family.
Oh,
so
no.
They didn't look like heirlooms, but they were, essentially, heirlooms, you know?
Damn.
So, he entire set, and I... this was around the time I had started, like, doing videos and, like, vlogging and stuff. So, I had actually... I had a quick snippet of video where you could see one of the lids... on top of the fridge. So I was like, that's proof I have all the pots and pans. Of course it wasn't. But I was just really upset. And I was like, I'm going to sue this guy. Like, I just want, this is family stuff that's important to me. And I really want that. But he was just upset with me and stole all the shit and was whatever. Great.
Did you sue him?
No.
Damn.
Because I scrubbed all my videos. I was like, let me see one shot of the top of the fridge where all those pots and pans were. And I could never get it.
I see.
Yeah, so it was, you know,
evidence.
Yeah, I didn't really have evidence to prove myself. And the court fees and legal fees I would have paid would have far outweighed the value, I'm sure. So it didn't really matter. But that was probably the worst roommate situation I ever had that I can think of. Everyone else that I've lived with, it's never been that bad. It was more like personal issues than that, I separated with everybody on good terms, I feel like, so it was never like, you know, hateful or anything.
Yeah.
That was a random fox noise. Hee hee. That means it's time to let you know we are on Patreon. If you like this podcast and want to see more, we have multiple subscription options available. You could even get early access to episodes and access to an exclusive group chat. Whoa. Go to patreon.com/pauseplay to learn more and subscribe today. Thank you so much for supporting furry content online. You're amazing. Back to the show.
I my first time experiencing roommates was the college dormitory.
That's a real one.
Roommate wise, everything was fine there. I had a very, very good roommate who volunteered to room with me. So I don't know if I was a bad roommate. I tried not to be. Being a furry did not help with that. But
I guess.
But the bigger problem I had with the dormitory was the other people in the dormitory. Oh my God. Also, so many gay people in there that were not out of the closet.
Yep.
I hear the things I hear in the bathroom. I will leave it at that. But
you got to do what you got to do.
The reason for the signs about not doing that kind of stuff in the bathroom.
Yeah, the reason really there's a war for the single handicapped bathroom that has all the space in it. It's like, yeah, we know what that's for.
Oh my God, that's awesome. That's actually awesome.
So that one was fine. We had a very condensed amount of space. It was very easy. It was very cool. Everybody was chill. The year after that was the first time I experienced. So we had a triple room. We had a third person. There's three of us in this equation. All of us went to the same high school together. So by proxy, we all went to the same college. And me and one of us roomed together. And then the third one got another mystery roommate that they hung out with. And they got along with them fine. They had a good rooming situation as far as I was aware. And then our third friend would just come and hang out in our room a lot. But in the dormitory move to the next year, they had triple rooms available. Ooh. So we applied for a triple room. And then we found out, unfortunately, that our third member, the one that I had roomed with, wasn't going to be able to come back until the second half of the year. They were not going to be able to do both semesters because money was difficult, mm-hmm, which mm-hmm. makes total sense because college is stupid expensive. So the third slot has to get filled with somebody else. It got filled with this one kid who was on the basketball team who was a freshman.
Mm-hmm.
We were not in a freshman dormitory. So he was getting unbelievably privileged.
Oh, okay.
To be in that dormitory. And mm-hmm. it was just like, okay. And they stuck him into our room slot. And he was so, I don't think I've ever experienced that level of what the hell is going on with this person. Because like, they were fine. They existed kind of the same way that I did, where like, I liked to be on Discord and chat with my friends. So like, I would understand if they were like on the phone and just yapping with their friends or whatever. But the weird thing was how they had their stuff. They had about 7 duffel bags.
Okay.
And they had them all underneath their bed, and that is where they stored all of their belongings. I don't remember if they used the closet or not. I don't think they ended up using the closet at all, which also alarms me looking back because where did you get your clothes? But he would drink. I'm not one of these people. I know there's plenty of these people. He drank milk, not milk. Yes, milk and water out of gallon-sized jugs.
Oh, God.
And
it just seems
interchangeable out of the same jug or separate jugs?
Separate jugs. That's separate good. Jugs. But it was just my milk it jug was and still my water just jug. Like such a whoa, like what is going on? And he also had giant bags of Cinnamon Toast Crunch cereal.
Hey,
and he would have that for breakfast and stuff like all the time. But like,
that's why he had milk by the jug.
Sorry. Yeah, he would just Canadian. Not. He just wouldn't say anything to either of us, like ever, as you would ever. as you would with someone you didn't know and weren't comfortable with. Like, you wouldn't mm-hmm. try to talk to them on purpose because what are you doing? What are you going to say? What are you going to talk about? But he tried shooting the breeze with me over Pikmin one day. But just he was just such a bizarre roommate, and we were petrified because our third roommate was eventually going to come back.
Yeah.
So we had to tell him, hey, would you mind if you could like find another room to stay in so that we could bring our third back with us? And thankfully that ended up being an unbelievably easy conversation because he was just like, oh yeah, I already planned on changing rooms to be with some of my basketball friends. I was like, hallelujah. Ugh. Sorry, that was a run-on story. No, but
good story. Good story.
It's but honestly, it does bring up a kind of a very valid point about roommates in general, whether it's dorm or like a lease or whatever. It's like sometimes you have to have those conversations where it's like, hey, so I'm having this issue, or hey, so this thing is coming up, right? And you never necessarily know beforehand, especially when it's a really challenging or difficult conversation,
yes.
like what is going to happen. And the number of like aneurysms I've just about had before those conversations is so real. I honestly like, this is true of like jobs or like projects that people work on too. So it's not like unique to this. The reason I think it has more impact though, is because like that person is sleeping probably in the same place you are. And so it's a little more.
Yeah.
Conflict resolution is a little tougher, I think, in this context.
Did you have any aneurysms trying to talk to me?
I don't think so. The stuff I got nervous about had more to do with like us figuring out our thresholds for cleanliness and how we wanted to maintain the home together. And also like, okay, so one example is like you would leave the door unlocked a lot. And that really bothered me because I was like, this is where we were living. I did not feel comfortable about that, you know.
Are you talking about like when I take the dog out?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. But sometimes you would just forget to lock it.
What yeah, I've did. Had a few times.
I think I did that once or twice too. But like, so, I, you know, the thing is like, I didn't really trust the neighborhood we were in. I have a lot of expensive things because I have the suit and all the filming equipment and computers and stuff. And it's like, so I felt a certain way about that. But you had a different like tolerance for how you were comfortable in that neighborhood and in that living situation. So approaching that conversation sucked because it was like, okay, well, this person has grown up in some pretty cushy neighborhoods, probably. You know, you just have a different vibe about it. I don't. So this sucks because it's like, it's really not a big deal at the end of the day because we weren't living in a high crime area. But it was a big deal for me because I am home and I wanted to have peace of mind, you know?
Yeah.
So I can understand it from both sides. I just, but like approaching that conversation or any conversation like that, I was like, this sucks because it's like, we could be watching YouTube or cooking or having fun, and instead we gotta fucking go through this bullshit, which is normal when you're living with somebody. Like, you have to embrace those conversations too because it's part of the cohabitation thing,
you yeah
know? You have to be able to have, you have to be able to get there and fix the problem when it comes up. But I also, like, we've been super close for a long time, so I also kind of hated approaching it for that reason because it was like, oh fuck, we gotta like just do this now, you know, and we don't really have to do that a lot in general.
And processing, learning how to process things.
Oh my God.
I learned a lot about myself living with you.
That's actually cool. That's pretty cool.
The things, the nuances that you catch, especially if you're close with somebody, even you know, going into it prior, you notice things that I do that I didn't necessarily know about myself. And kind of bringing that to light allows me to see some of the things that I do that kind of probably get on people's nerves.
What's nice about that, though, is like, you were able to receive that so gracefully. Like, I was really able to say, like, you know what I mean? It's tough. It's really tough.
It's so, the worst thing is when you have that conversation and then the person you have that conversation with, they absorbed none of it.
Well, because, or, and then they're permanently mad at you. You know what I mean?
Then, yeah. Then it turns into, I'm gonna do this intentionally now, motherfucker.
Well, and then there's sabotage. So now I'm leaving the toilet seat up and I haven't flushed and there's dishes in the sink and it's whatever, you know, like there's definitely pettiness that happens when communication isn't happening. So for us, that's why I was so grateful, like, about the communication we had, because we could really, I don't think so, like, we never shouted at each other. We never had a shouting match.
Nope, I don't think we ever got to that
point. We did get angry.
We get angry, sure.
We for sure got angry, but we never shouted. And we did eventually resolve everything. I don't think anything got left unresolved. Like, there was nothing that was left to stew or whatever.
In my case, usually I need a couple days to process things. And that annoys the hell out of me.
So actually, that was probably the biggest thing that we dealt with was like, and by the way, I'm a hypocrite because sometimes I also just ghost and don't talk about things and then yeah. I do come back when I'm ready. So I know I'm a hypocrite, but what I usually say is like, I really want to resolve this right now. I don't want it to sit. I don't want it to stew. And that's not realistic because when you're angry and really upset, sometimes you can't resolve it right away, or it makes it worse if you try to force people to talk about it.
You got to come down and then yeah. have a logical mind to think it through.
And the other thing with that is like, the other half of it for me is I get impatient. So if I know that there's something hanging in the air and we have to fix it, like, I hate that feeling. Once I feel okay, I just want to fix it right away. And it's not about me. It's about both of us. Sure. So, like, yeah, it did bother me. But it's also one of those things where it's like, I really should have been better about letting you have, you know, your space and time to kind of... I think I did that for the most part. But I also know that I was like, come on, let's fix it. Like, I'm over it.
You know? That's absolutely one of those things. Because what I was trying to mention was the fact that, like, sometimes you have to have that conversation with your roommate where you're just like, hi, here's the problem I'm having. Is there any way we can fix this? And then they say, like, they're going to fix it. And then they don't.
Right.
In one ear, out the other.
Yeah. And then you're stuck in that same spot again. It's just like, I really don't want to have to tell you a second time. Because if I have to, I'm going to probably crash out or, like, whatever yeah. it is. But, like...
Well, and then, like, then there are some issues, like this thing we were just talking about, where it may bother me, but it's also just who you are. And depending on what the issue is, am I okay with that, or am I not okay with that? And then what do I do, right?
Yeah.
So this is kind of funny. to be very, very hyper specific here, but like being able to talk to yourself in a roommate situation is kind of important yes. too. Just check in with yourself and say like, hey, am I doing this right? Am I seeing what I'm seeing? Like, are we good? What do I need? You know, that self-check-in can also really help with conflict resolution.
I self-check so often because I'm awake super late into the night because I have no choice. So I just kind of accepted it.
Yeah.
And I'm always petrified about whether or not I am making too much noise. I am terrified if the neighbors can hear me. I'm terrified if my roommates can hear me. I'm terrified if I'm like, I just don't want to be disruptive or like a problem. And I especially don't want to do that and then have my roommates just secretly like dislike the fact that I do it without actually communicating with me about it. I'm just tell me.
Give me the chance.
I'm like, let me know.
Well, but that's another thing that happens is some people are better about initiating and others will just never say anything and let it fester and boil, you know?
I am not one of those people.
Absolutely right. Life is too damn short.
I'm just like, hi, do your dish. Thank you. Like,
do I'm your just dish. Like, do your dish. I love her.
I finish dinner and I look in the sink and I'm just like, hi, there's a plate in here. Yeah.
Now I will say currently, I'm living with Wolf and Draft and so this is a new situation for me because they are, of course, together and I am just a roommate, you know, like we're friends, you know, we're obviously friends, but I'm not part of the relationship. I'm just kind of there to help with money and also have a place to live. And you know, we get to hang out when we see each other. So that dynamic has made me much more aware of how I use the space. So if I'm cooking, I do all my dishes right away. If I see the trash, I'm like, they work. Right now, because this is funny that we're in this point of the timeline. So they're working jobs and I'm not. So I'm like, well, okay, I'll help with the dishes for a second. Or let me take the trash out really quick because they're not home. They work a 12-hour shift, you know. So it's like, it's made me much more aware. Well, and then like I had to change my computer space around. And the bedroom that I have is a little bit smaller than the one that I'm used to. So like now I have a storage unit. So it's like... there's a way that I've become maybe more independent, but also I've tried to just really be cognizant of what I'm using, how I'm using it.
Something like that is absolutely great.
Yeah.
They're going to appreciate that.
There's been no complaints yet.
I'm sure there isn't.
May I pose a topic?
You
question
may.
Mark.
Yeah.
What are the thoughts on pets with roommates?
Yeah. So I love dogs. I'm definitely allergic to dogs.
Oh no.
I'm admitting this to myself, I think, at this moment of my life. So it's tough now for me to try to live with dogs. I also have been in people's houses now where it really smells like pets or like cat pee or something. So it's just, you know, there becomes a point where I'm like, I don't want a whole farm in here. I really don't want that. I'm not even sure, like, more than one... I think more than one dog would be too much.
Okay.
A couple dogs, depending on the situation, you know? A couple. But I have to say that because Uche, my boyfriend, has two dogs. And I just realized what I said. So two dogs is okay.
Two dogs is fine.
Two dogs is great. But I don't think I want a dog of my own at this point because I'm trying to do video full-time now. And I want to travel more and all this other shit. So it's like, I don't want to do that to a dog. You know, if other people have dogs, like that's cool. If that dog is aggressive, if that dog is tearing up property, if that dog is peeing and pooping on everything, like I'm not about it. I'm over it. Like I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
You need to keep your animals in check. I also don't mind helping with pet care. Like if I'm and the roommate are on different schedules.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. If we're on different schedules, it's like, cool, you know, let me take the dog out really quick. I was working at home while you had the one job. So it was like, you know, I could watch the dog during the day.
Free interaction with the animals.
Yeah. Yay. I also never want to feel like the care of the animal though is being pushed primarily onto me. I need to know that it's even 50-50 might be too much if I'm not dating that person, you know.
Yeah.
Like it's I really got to feel like I'm helping and I'm not just taking it over and it's becoming an expectation instead of like a, oh, this is nice to have or whatever, you know.
Yeah,
that's just, you know, I'm kind of big on that too.
So I know you noticed that big sigh bringing the topic up.
Yeah. So I was like, what's there?
The situation was a mutual one. We were going to get an apartment together. This person decided they wanted to buy a house and then offer me a room instead. So that kind of broke the equality in getting a place together in that sense to me.
That makes sense, though.
So I did end up being a roommate, and then they wanted a dog. But they didn't want me to do any training of the dog. They didn't want me to feed the dog, and they didn't want me to take all of these things. And then the animal was an absolute, like...
terror.
The owner was not... The dog made the owner the bitch.
Oh, Jesus.
Like, just did whatever it wants, and... No, don't do that. Not disciplining the animal. And then, so it got to the point where, like, okay, you're not here. I'm going to train the dog when it's just me and the dog. And the dog was a lot better behaved when their owner wasn't home. But as soon as they were home, it was like, okay, now I can do whatever the fuck I want.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
And I was younger and probably a bit more immature and unable to talk about things in that regard. So I fled from the situation.
It's just hard when you have the overwhelming sense of, like, I know I'm right in this situation. It's hard to...
Oh, God.
It's hard to do more, not ambassador. What's the word I'm looking for? It's harder to have diplomatic communication when you have that overwhelming feeling, like, I know that I'm right here, you know?
And it was also the dynamic was shifted because they own the house.
That also changes a lot. That's like a financial power, you know?
Mm-hmm. Not to say they didn't love the dog. Boy, they were super attached to the animal.
Sure,
They did everything they needed medically to make sure, because the dog needed a specific diet, and they made sure they took care of that. And, man, it sucks to lose an animal.
Sure does. But they also weren't, like, being a good owner at the same time.
Well,
to them, they
were being a good owner.
They cared probably. It sounds like they were at least doing more than a default owner would probably do if they didn't care about the animal.
Yeah.
Just like, I just want to have a dog to know that I own one and not give a damn about
it. He loved his dog.
Yeah.
I will say that.
Yeah. But it's one of those things where it's like you enjoy the benefits without putting in the work is maybe how they were handling it.
Perhaps.
You know? Yeah. Roommates and pets, if I'm with somebody, like, okay, I'm probably helping you more with the animals. If I'm not with that person, it's like, you know, I'm definitely going to help where I can. For, like, you and I, Dameron, it made sense because you were out during the day and I was working at home. So it's like, yeah, I'll take the dog out on my lunch break or whatever. That's easy. You know, that makes sense. But, I think for me the biggest thing is, like, when helping with a pet is like a nice thing to do and it does not become the expectation, or like you're the primary caretaker instead of the person who actually committed to this animal, you know,
that is the worst thing you can do.
Yeah. That. So good. That's really good topic.
Sorry. Yeah. That was a great topic.
It's a great topic. Honestly,
don't feel bad about that one. That was a good topic.
I think that does it for roommates. So thank you, Dameron. Thank you, Lux.
You're welcome.
We Sparkles. Got to talk about living with people. Staying with people at cons for a bit, like, that's also kind of the other side of this coin.
Oh my God.
There's so many more con roommate stories.
There are.
I've got plenty.
And honestly, this biggest story I remember is like, oh my God, they were roommates. I had to do that for Lux.
I'm going to neglect that.
Do you guys have a bad roommate story? Do you have a good roommate story? Talk about con roommates.
Yes.
Let us know in the comments.
Please do.
And if you are on an audio platform and you would like to engage in the comments, you'll have to jump over to YouTube. But we fucking love your faces for being on the audio platforms. You're amazing.
Yeah. If you guys drop any comments, I'll try to respond.
Yeah. We'll have conversation. Oh my God. Yeah,
right in the chat.
And if you drop anything else, I will give you a strange look.
And Lux will give you strange looks in the comments. Don't forget to like, subscribe, click the bell if you're on YouTube. We'll let you know when another episode is coming out. But that's it, guys. Thanks for tuning into Pawscast. We will see you in the next episode. Bye.
Cheers. Bye.